This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. There are optimistic signs that we're turning a corner on electrifying transportation. If nothing else, the number of passenger vehicle EV cars hitting the road last year increased by nearly 50% from the year before. But what about trucking? Accounting for about 5 to 10% of the vehicles on the road, trucks contribute about a quarter of the transportation sector's greenhouse gas emissions. So, how are we doing in decarbonizing that fleet of vehicles? I'm joined today by Mike Roth of the North American Council for Freight Efficiency, or NACFE. And we're going to dig into the state of trucking decarbonization, where it's at today, and what's needed to accelerate the pace of change. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or a couple minutes shy of how long it takes to fuel up a heavy-duty long-haul truck with diesel, which might be a topic of discussion with Mike in today's conversation. Let's get it on. Before sitting down with Mike, I'll admit that my understanding of what's being done to decarbonize trucking was kind of incomplete, mainly just reserved to thinking about the challenges of those long-haul, overnight, heavy-duty tractor trailers, where options to electrify or even switch to hydrogen are a little limited. But while an important segment, those long-haul trucks are just a portion of the overall trucking market. There are a lot of decarbonization technologies and options already being used for other use cases. And it's a bit myopic to think about trucking as just heavy-duty tractor trailers. Mike really does a great job laying out the 6 market segments that NACFE thinks about when talking about trucking.
One is vocational trucks. Those would be, you know, a huge amount of different use cases, like I just mentioned, garbage trucks, street sweepers, et cetera, these service sort of trucks. What we work on, though, is moving freight. So it starts with small delivery vans, class 3. Those would be like 40 transits, sprinter vans. These are vans that typically are in final mile delivery, but do, you know, an increasing amount of delivery as we're going less to stores to shop and more to home deliveries. Then you move up into class like 4, 5, and 6, where you'll start to see what we call step vans. So these are those larger vans. See Rivian, where Amazon has already deployed 10,000 of their 100,000 that they're committed to by 2030. And then, you know, UPS, what they call their package cars, to FedEx, to, a lot of others. They are the earliest to adopt electric trucks because small battery packs, you know, the cost differential for the upfront van is not that significant. So then as we move up, we still stay into urban deliveries, but we have, you know, bigger box trucks and so forth. We also see those scaling. We're pretty close to like a mic drop on those, that they'll be battery electric in the next decade or so.
So, as Mike mentions, there are whole classifications of trucks that can already be electrified, from final mile delivery vans to step vans and box trucks, and good strides are being made to address these segments. But then there are the really big trucks that I alluded to before. However, even here, there isn't just one monolithic type of use case. Mike splits his 5th and 6th market segments into how the trucks are being used and, more importantly, whether they return to base in the evening or not.
So then as we move up into the bigger trucks, they usually are tractors and pulling a trailer, and they could pull a small trailer or a large one. The first question is, do they return to base or not? If they return to base, they're more electrifiable because they're coming back to a known location at what we call a depot that allows the fleet, the people that own the trucks, to put the infrastructure behind the fence at their own depot and charge the trucks.
Those big return to base trucks are starting to see some electrification happening, especially for those where the total distance being traveled each day isn't that much.
We call short return to base, you know, out and back of maybe 100 miles, so maybe a 50-mile radius or less. I thought that was very small volume. What we're finding is there's a lot of trucks that do that. There's a lot of trucks in the medium distance that, you know, might be 150 miles out, 150 miles back, you know, under 300 miles a day. And then the long return to base is like, out maybe 300 miles and back, so 600 miles. And we see it like evenly split in numbers between those.
Which leaves us with the long-haul overnight sleeper trucks that make up Mike's 6th market segment. These are the ones that occupy a lot of the conversation around fleet decarbonization. And as Mike says, decarbonizing this segment is tough.
So that long-haul disparate routes where they tend to do 400 or 500 miles a day and they don't know where they're stopping, that's going to be difficult to decarbonize, difficult to make other than the efficiency stuff we were talking and maybe renewable fuels to some extent. You know, we're either going to have really fast charging of battery electric trucks, or we're going to need to have hydrogen fuel cell trucks with, you know, the purported longer range, lower weight, faster fill times.
And it's going to take time for those technologies of super fast charging or hydrogen fuel cells to mature, which means that the immediate period while we try to gain efficiencies or work with alternative fuels is going to be challenging, something that Mike calls the messy middle. But that messiness for long-haul trucking shouldn't hold back electrification of other use cases and market segments. And while the trucking market is starting to really commit to decarbonized alternatives with OEMs investing heavily in electrified transport, the pace of adoption is still pretty slow.
CalStart has done some good work here in the early days where they're looking at registrations and other things. And so recently, within the last few months, they said that there's 17,000 vehicles, electric vehicles, and commercial trucks here, you know, in 2024. So, but let's look at it for a minute because, you know, 10,000 of those trucks are the Rivian step vans. And that brings it down to like, you know, 6,000 of these. And then you get into, you know, a number of other panel vans. And then there's these heavy duty tractors called terminal tractors that never leave the warehouse yard. They're in the numbers. And so by the time you really get into class 6, 7, and 8 that are the predominant volumes, you know, there only are a couple thousand out there. We're all talking about electric trucks beginning to scale, but we're at the really early stages. I mean, we're at the, you know, 0.1% market share kind of numbers.
And while some of that tepid pace of adoption may be due to range or cost concerns, Mike actually points to a perhaps underappreciated issue as one of the biggest hurdles that the industry still needs to overcome.
The challenge really is around infrastructure. And it's not around how we put it in the ground and where we do it. It's around how do we get the utilities to deliver power to the site.
The engineering, permitting, installation of new power supply. Mike indicated that the power consumption for a relatively small electrified fleet is going to be on the order of a skyscraper or a sports stadium on game day. It's a lot, requiring its own substation and switchgear, and that causes problems, not only in terms of cost and who will bear it, but in timing as well.
The truck OEMs are openly saying they can build you and get you delivery of electric heavy-duty tractors, you know, Freightliner with the eCascadia and Volvo and so forth, in, you know, 4 to 6 months. They're going to need a facility upgrade that is in the order of 18 months to 2 years by most utilities. And if they're going to try to go to 40 trucks or 50 trucks, now we're talking about, you know, 3 to 5 years where they could get the trucks in 6 months.
The technology that is needed to decarbonize the trucking market mainly exists, at least for most of the use cases that Mike laid out. But to drive further scale and to catalyze this market properly, there are still hurdles to overcome with cost, weight, range, and the power ecosystem that is needed to support everything.
You know, as we've been doing our work, you know, my confidence in the industry figuring this out grows because of the people doing the work, Paul. I mean, the amount of diversity and people now in trucking compared to just a couple of years ago is incredible.
I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.